Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Bang.
Bang.
We're back.
Wow.
We're back. Can you believe it? It's April.
I mean, it's quite funny because we have said many times over the past 4 months, I really miss it.
Yes.
Oh my God, we can podcast this.
Yeah, and then we don't.
Well, or, you know, we'll be able to talk about this when we come back.
I'm just having a little look when our last episode was.
I really feel that we should talk about the review now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Top. Let's tackle that at the top.
Okay, so I was in preparation to get this podcast back on the road. I thought, well, I'll have a quick look at the reviews and things like that when people said. And we got four.
Never look, I'm too scared.
Yeah, we're 4.6 out of 5 on the Apple podcasts.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's quite good, isn't it? I don't know.
I mean, it's not bad because we don't, you know, I look at everybody else and everybody else is doing a proper podcast.
And this is
not proper, really.
Not a proper podcast.
Well, let's be honest.
It's not. We do.
You know,
it
we're not on YouTube
as much as anything else.
We're not on. We do it for us and for the people that love us.
Yeah.
We did get a very, very funny review.
We did. So I thought, well, I'll have a quick look, see what people were saying about us, see if it's actually worth bringing back. If everybody said, this podcast is bloody awful, and I think, do you know what, let's not bring it back. Anyway, the first one's great. It says, my weekly fix, like listening to two friends having a natter, interesting facts. Please. A lot of people say that, don't they? It says, it's a bit like just having a cup of tea at the kitchen table with us. And then Juliette Marie says, cute pod, 1 star.
Oh, that's weird.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it says, this pod is good. Michael and Davina are lovely together. However, the constant breaks they take between recording is boring, causing me to lose interest. All the podcasts I'm subscribed to upload weekly, some twice a week with no breaks. Some record whilst on holidays. Let's face it, it's only an hour. Oh, they double record, so there are no breaks in the episodes. Come on, guys, show commitment to your listeners. Update more and more breaks. You clearly don't want to commit to your listeners. I'm unsubscribing. 1 star. I don't know where to start with this, Juliette Marie, but you can't
She's unsubscribed. She's not going to hear this.
Well, you can't like it and give it 1 star. You can't do those two things. It's not fair.
No.
I think it deserves at least 2 stars.
I mean, she said cute.
Yeah, she said cute.
Cute pod.
And then she said, this pod is good.
We're conflicted here.
I read that out largely because I did want to say how unbelievably busy our lives are. And for people who think it's just an hour, it's not just an hour. Because you spend an entire week actually storing bits of your information in bits of your brain.
Yeah.
That you can't then store other things in.
Yeah, and like also we have to write it all down, you know, like kind of find a cohesive, interesting thing to say about the thing we're going to recommend.
Yeah.
But also, you know, we do this at weekends when we've got 5 kids between us. Life is busy.
I run 2 businesses.
Yeah.
And God knows how many hats you wear.
I mean, a lot.
You're a healthcare professional for 30% of the week. You're a very sexy woman for about 50% of the week.
What
else do you do? You're a very highly skilled professional television presenter, broadcaster, reporter, journalist.
I'm a writer.
And you're a writer.
Writing another book.
Life was very busy. So what I would like to say to Juliette Marie and anybody else is that we were sorry.
We're sorry.
We really did have to take a break.
We really needed it.
We were at breaking point.
We were.
And we would have made a podcast that was below par.
I think the other thing is we weren't enjoying it.
We weren't actually, were we?
And
were struggling.
We only want to do this podcast when we're really enjoying
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's been interesting is that since we stopped doing it, we were like, oh, I really,
really miss it.
I want to tell people about this experience.
Yeah, really miss
it. Yeah, and we've really missed it. So thank you for all the messages we've had.
We've got
people
so many
saying,
experiences
please come back
to tell them about as well.
Yeah,
haven't
yes,
we?
I do, I do. It's really funny, but I've sat down and I'm like, I can't think of anything to say.
I've got loads.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise be.
What we'll probably do is we've had lots of really interesting things happen to us over the last 6 months. So we'll just drop them in the episodes as we go
let's
along.
Let's do that.
Because we went to Las Vegas for a while.
Yeah, well, that's one of my things that I'm going to talk about.
Was it? Oh, mm-hmm. We went to Miami.
got to talk about that.
Holy shit. That was life-changing, yeah. That trip. We went for Christmas Day.
And some amazing stuff happened to us out there. And mm-hmm. I bumped into an old boss of mine, which was amazing.
Did you? Yeah,
and that was an amazing hotel. You don't have to stay at it. It's worth just going to walk around to look at it. It's incredible.
We've seen all sorts of great things on TV. And we've listened to various audiobooks and read books. And
been to Disney? Have we talked about that?
No, I think we did. We finished our last episode, I think, it's the 3rd of November. So I think we would have done Disney. And then... Anyway, I think we should probably start with the fact we went to the cinema last night.
I've literally put that down. IMDb, Monkey Man.
Okay, great. Well, why don't you take this one away and I will throw in my
feelings about it. What's interesting is that we always talk about IMDb and ratings and how long a film is.
Mm-hmm.
And Chester has started not looking at the IMDb rating.
Mm-hmm.
And this film is 2 hours, 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does Deb Patel know you or what? Like, he would have shaved off a minute of that film if he'd known you. He'd have gone, God, we can't have it over 2 hours because it's got to get over a 7 or something, hasn't it?
It's got to go over a 7 and be under, and ideally be under 2 hours. But if it's over 7, I will go into the 2 hours.
Well, it's 7.4.
Yeah.
But I think it deserves more than that.
Okay. Fair enough.
But this film stars Dev Patel, who also wrote it. It was due to be filmed in 2020, and then COVID happened.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. And in fact, they went to film it on an island in Bali. And in the first action scene, Dev Patel broke his hand.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. I mean, the action is off the charts amazing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what was quite funny, we all sat down. So I took my kids and a friend of my son's and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And we all sat down and the preview films, the trailers for the films coming up in the cinema were so scary and thriller-like and violent.
They were all horrors, basically.
We were all thinking, oh, good God, what have we come to watch?
So I specifically didn't watch the trailer. I didn't read anything about this film. You said it was Dev Patel, who had slightly forgotten who Dev Patel was even.
Oh, really?
And I was just like, oh, I'm just going to the cinema. I'll just go and watch whatever it is. And then when it came up, Monkey Man, and then 18. No film is an 18 these days unless it is extremely violent or very scary.
Oh, my God. It was so violent. Mm. I mean, I had my fingers in my ears. I don't know why it helps me watch extreme violence if my fingers are in my ears.
Can't see it or hear it. Sorry.
It's the hearing it that's so weird. And there's something so charming and lovable. I think Dev Patel is an enormous star.
Yes.
Of gargantuan proportions.
Mm-hmm.
The man is gentle and strong, and he can make me cry and be frightened of him all at the same time. I mean, there's something that's very hard to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's very, very good. Well, I think the thing I liked most about this film is precisely that it was him doing something that you would not expect him to do.
Mm.
So obviously you remember him from Slumdog Millionaire. Mm-hmm. I also remember him from Lion, which was unbelievable.
I mean, another massive recommendation
if you haven't seen Lion. Or if you've not seen it for a few years even.
Watch it again.
Unbelievably moving, that film. So I thought it was really good that an actor would take a chance on taking himself out of all the things that we already know he's good at and put himself right in the centre. I think all credit to him, well done, because it's a massive risk. Because I think what you do as a movie star, really, I've probably told this before, the reason they cast Tom Hanks in a movie is because they don't have to do, 120 pages of convincing you that this character is a strong, moralistic family man. Mm. You just cast Tom Hanks. And you can get rid of 120 pages of script.
Mm.
So it's helpful for an actor to become more typecast because he's more likely to get work, because just by them being in the film, you already know a bunch about the person.
Mm.
But once you're an actor that decides you're going to leave a particular type of role, and then you put yourself in something completely different, you risk everything, which is an extremely courageous thing for an actor to do, because it's a very kind of date, what is it? What would you call it? A fragile career to be in, anyway. So and for him to do this is, I think, is brilliant, and he has done it fantastically well.
He also changes person halfway through the film.
Mm.
You know, he goes from one person and then he finishes the movie as a completely different person. Mm. And the other thing I loved was that he has a moment where he kind of becomes who he needs to become. Mm-hmm. I was sort of half expecting, there's a big kind of training sequence, and I thought, oh, he's going to come out looking like Chris Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. He just looked
yes.
lean and really strong.
Yeah.
Amazing physique.
Mm-hmm.
But he hadn't kind of gone the whole steroid route and, yeah, you know, turned
the
into...
The Tom Hardy bit. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I really appreciated that because... Mm. It felt ultimately a lot more believable. It felt really like a real portrayal of something, you know. I mean, India's a fascinating place. It's...
Yes.
I'd love to go to India. And do you know what? I haven't felt emotionally ready to go to India
mm-hmm.
until now because it's such a mad place culturally, so different for us.
It's going through a wild transformation as well. Yeah. At the moment, I think it's about to become the most populated country in the world.
The world. Yeah.
So yeah, and it's also about to become economically, I think, one of the wealthiest countries in the world, which, as we all know, historically, it's always been considered quite poor. Mm. But I don't know a lot about India, but shall we go at some point?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah.
And I saw a really nice, you know, Ali Plum. We've recommended him.
Yes.
Before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And watched a really nice interview with Ali Plum and Dev Patel where he said, you know, this is amazing. You've done something absolutely incredible here. And for people who look like you. And I thought that was a very nice way of saying it. And Dev Patel said, can I give you a hug? And he gave Ali a hug. And it was so nice because I thought Dev Patel really has done amazing things for India.
Yeah, yeah.
When you think about the movie choices he's made and what he represents, but he's done it in an absolutely brilliant, non-shouty, non-offensive, you know, like just a really beautiful way of raising our awareness of Indian people and India itself.
I think that's the thing, because it's actually India's a very successful, it's got the most successful film industry in the world, but what he's done a very good job of is... for Indian people outside of India, probably. Yeah. But yeah, he's brilliant.
Look
and
at his face.
Ali Plum is the movie critic for the BBC, mainly Radio 1, but he has a series of shorts on the iPlayer. So if you're interested in movies and stuff like that, go and Google Ali Plum, BBC iPlayer, and you'll find loads of interviews.
So
and he's a brilliant interviewer.
He's a brilliant interviewer.
Because he's not sycophantic at all.
No.
Really. And he's so knowledgeable about movies.
Yeah.
And so grateful to get to spend time with these people and ask them questions.
That's the other thing I love about Dev Patel. Mm-hmm. He is an unexpected heartthrob.
He's an absolute heartthrob. Mm. One thing I would say is that I thought the film was worthy of a 7.5.
Yes.
But I think I've seen this type of movie before, this kind of revenge movie before. There's lots of Japanese and Chinese versions of these films that are equally violent, if not more violent. And obviously they're highly skilled at doing the stunts, the violent types of stunts. So I think... there was definitely room for growth in this movie, but I would highly recommend you go and see it if you like Dev Patel.
I thought it deserved an action
revenge thriller.
And me and my daughter both woke up this morning thinking about it.
Mm.
That's a good movie.
It's good, isn't it?
When you wake up thinking about it. And also, Jordan Peele produced it because he thought it deserved.
Yes, he's a
really broad audience. He's kind
funny
of quite
guy,
interesting,
isn't he? Yeah, yeah. I started watching something. We're going to stay on the theme of watching things. Andy, who's always one of my great barometers. So Andy is the guy who works for us at MD London, making all the content. He's my TV producer friend.
Andy's your best friend.
Andy's my best friend.
Let's be honest.
But so when he mentions something and he says, have you seen this? I think you should watch it. I'm always like, oh, okay. He's my making the cut. He said, you've got to watch The Dropout. So The Dropout is a mini TV series. I think it's on the BBC iPlayer at the moment. It gets 7.5 on IMDb. There's 8 episodes in it. I've only watched episode 1, but I am like, oh, wow, okay.
Really?
Brilliant.
This and it's a true story, right?
It's a true story of the girl who founded a company called Theranos.
Yeah.
She's called Elizabeth Holmes in it, so you can go and Google her. But she created a kind of blood test that would allow you access to medical information about yourself. And
I mean, there are lots of those now, aren't there?
There are tons now, yeah. But hers wasn't what she said it was. And she was suggesting, I mean, I haven't seen the rest of the thing, but I believe she was suggesting all sorts of treatment that were causing people harm or not giving them the treatment that they needed that was causing them to die.
Might die.
Oh, I think people did die, yeah. There was a court case, and I know the outcome, but I'm not going to spoil that. But it's free, essentially, at the moment on the BBC iPlayer, and episode one is great, and the cast is brilliant, but William H. Macy is in it. Yeah, but, I mean, I didn't recognise him.
Really?
Because I remember thinking, he looks like William H. Macy, this guy, but whoever he is, he's such a good actor.
Wow.
And then I was just doing a bit of research this morning for it, and it's like, shit, it is him, but... Last time I saw him was probably in Fargo or something like that, which is actually probably nearly 30 years old now. But anyway, he's brilliant. And the rest of the cast in it are fantastic. I could list them out, but you probably just wait and watch it. But if you're stuck for something to watch, oh, Stephen Fry's in it, which is quite interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
Honestly, if you're stuck for something to watch.
I might download it when I travel tonight.
So are you flying to Glasgow tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, download it. Watch episode one on the flight.
Can we quickly talk about The Gentleman?
Yeah, definitely. But if you enjoy it...
I'm going to watch that.
We could watch another episode of this.
Tonight.
We could sync up.
Yeah.
We do this thing, folks, where if we're in different parts of the country, we sync up and press play at precisely the same time so we can watch a TV show together, even though we're not together. So we could either do this or we could do the final episode of
The Gentleman. I mean, I'm obsessed.
Yeah, it's good.
It's really, really good. Vinnie Jones is so brilliant. Jolie Richardson, it's an amazing cast. What's the lead guy called?
I'm going to find out now because he's great, isn't he?
He's so good.
Theo James.
Yeah. He was in The Lotus, The White Lotus.
He's in White Lotus season two.
Which was so good.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
But Guy Ritchie.
Well done.
He's done great things here. And his casting, I think, is second to none.
Yeah.
Whenever I see his casting, I think this is absolutely perfect. There are some, the travellers, they don't like it when they call travellers. It's so funny, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
The Romany gypsies that they get very offended by everything, basically. Mm. And then there's an incredibly funny Scouse thug.
Yes, played by Peter Serafinovich.
Very, very funny.
Mm.
Honest to God. The travellers are brilliant. Every single one of them is just absolutely genius. And the lead girl is, I think, really brilliant as well. Max Beasley makes an appearance, which is kind of amazing.
Yes, the lead girl's called...
Kaya.
Kaya Scodelario?
Scodelario.
Well done, by the way.
I mean, I don't know.
You're very good with languages, you aren't.
Well, I'm not that... I mean, I'm just guessing. It's probably completely wrong.
But she's great. David Ings is fantastic.
Oh, God, he plays the brother.
Daniel Ings.
He plays the brother, and he is absolutely incredible.
I've seen him in many
things.
Vinnie
Jones, I haven't seen in anything for ages, and he's very good in it. He's completely under... He underplays, but then he goes savage.
Mm.
And do you know what was lovely was that Chester, my son, who's football mad... I'd never heard of Vinnie Jones. I was like, go look him up. Go look up Vinnie Jones, Gazza's bollocks.
Mm.
Go look up
Wimbledon, Google,
you know, Google everything. Oh, please, may I have a sip?
Yeah, of course you can.
Do you know what?
Yeah, we should talk about these, right?
We should talk about these right now. Mm.
So I can't remember whether it was last summer or something like that. We might have even talked about them. But we got a couple of cool water bottles. You know those metal water bottles that are like double-walled?
That's a sound effect for you.
And then you have a screw on top and a straw that goes into it, so you don't have to tip it up and down.
Oh, my God.
You can just suck the water out of it.
We had a friend over the other day.
Yeah, she kept tipping it up.
And she kept tipping it up. I didn't want to tell her because it's rude, right?
Mm. But obviously, as you tip it up,
you don't get the water.
Disappears from the end of the straw, right?
Yeah, so you don't get the water. So it's like
so funny watching her kind of going, why can't I get water out of this bottle? It's like, just suck.
But she didn't ask. That's what was cute about it. Anyway, but it's called... Super Sparrow.
Yes.
They come in 500, 750 and 1 litre options.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do at night is we fill them with ice cubes from the fridge. American fridge freezer people. And we fill them with ice cubes and then fill them with water. And it lasts for days.
Yeah, you can get 48 hours out of it if it's a cool day.
Because we finish the water.
Finish the water and then you just fill it up with more water and then I take it to work the following day and then usually by the end of that day it's done.
It's time for a wash.
But oh my god,
it's so good.
So you've just got freezing cold water on ice.
I've never known a water bottle work so well. I'm not joking.
But it's quite funny, since we bought about 10 of these, essentially, because they're on cycle and people keep using them and stealing them and one thing or another.
But you've saved my life.
Lots of people. Have I saved your life?
Yes.
Wow.
Because I didn't drink enough water and I don't like tepid water and I don't really like icy water in a glass. Mm. But icy water from this bottle tastes better.
Mm.
I drink a litre and a half of water a day and never, ever, ever did that before.
And why do you do that now? It's because
it tastes nice.
It's enjoyable,
isn't it? It's refreshing.
It's so refreshing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So go and have a look on the Amazons, Super Sparrow.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I've got a couple of Amazon things I want to recommend. First thing is that I've been looking for... I have immersed my life recently back into the world of Paul Weller, which I left for quite a while. Not for any particular reason, I just drifted away.
Oh my God, we've got to tell him, because he's touring now, people have got to go and see him.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just say something? I didn't know the back catalogue of Paul Weller like you did.
Yeah.
But obviously, he has such an extensive back catalogue that I knew quite a lot of the songs, but I really liked his new stuff a lot.
Yeah.
And normally when you go to something and you hear new stuff, you think, I'll probably have to give that a couple of listens.
Mm.
I instantly liked stuff from his new album. But I'm not a lifelong super fan like you are. I've always loved him. I was a massive Jam fan.
Yeah.
But he was amazing.
He really was, wasn't he? Because even I was a bit cynical because I thought, I've probably not seen him for 10 years. And I stopped going to see him really because I felt like I was probably moving on a little bit and his music wasn't quite connecting with me in the same way that it once was. And then this came up at the Shepherd's Bush Empire and I was like, okay, it's a great venue. I'd love to see it. And I've been interacting with some of the band on Instagram because they want their hair cut and things like that. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Like, I'm interacting with Paul Weller's band. Like, it's so kind of weird. So I thought, well, let's go. I wanted to take you, my business partner, Reese. We used to go and see Paul Weller and Ocean Colour Scene, all that in the 90s. So a bit of nostalgia for me.
No, but wait, tell me what you... Tell everybody what you told me about Reese. Because I said, what, Reese is a mod? And you went, yeah, Reese is a mod. And I said, but he's not got the haircut or anything. He's never had the haircut. No.
And he just can't have the mod haircut because his hair's so thick and bushy that it just doesn't work on his hair. It looks like
that
a hat.
It must be terrible if you want to be a mod and you can't have the haircut.
He basically just got to have a skinhead. So Reese always had a skinhead when I met him, you know. But he had all the clothes and everything. He had a fishtail parker and he had a little
fair
peri.
Wait, so skinheads are mods?
Yes, well, there used to be this thing called a suede head. Suede heads and mods in the 70s were this. A suede head was a kind of mod scar crossover.
Yeah, because I had friends at school who had the shaved head and a fringe.
And a fringe,
and a little bit of hair at the back.
That was the suede head.
Oh, that,
which was
that
a kind
was
of
my friend.
An extension of the mod thing. Do you remember the mod thing was called the French line, which was feathery bits in front of the ears, a bit mullety at the back, and a little bit cropped on top.
I think I'd quite suit that.
Yes, you would, actually. You know, it was a very strong look. I mean, This Is England captured it very nicely when Shane Meadows made that film, and played by your friend, Vicky McClure. You know, she was a proper full-on suede head in that, you know. So there was a crossover. So what you would do, if you couldn't have a mod haircut, you'd just give yourself a skinhead but wear the clothes and you were part of the gang, you know. Anyway, we went to see Paul Weller and he came out and he sang a song called Rip Up the Pages, which is the first one, which is off an album from about four or five albums ago. But I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot just how good these songs are, actually. And it was brilliant because it's got
really
this
was.
Keyboard player that does all these synth sounds that wrap around all the music. And then Weller plays guitar, he's got another guitarist, the bass guitarist, what's he called?
My God, Jake.
Oh my God, they were just in the harmonies and everything. We were like, oh fuck, this is like
so good.
Another level. Anyway, played for about 2.5 hours non-stop, and he did all the classics, Wildwood and Broken Stones. He finished with Porcelain Gods, which is a song of Stanley Road. And I was just like, holy shit. I mean, like, I was like, I've missed
yeah.
the whole scene. It's so nice, isn't it, Yeah.
When you come back to something.
Oh.
The mod scene is fucking cool.
Yeah, it's very cool, isn't it? Yes.
And you know what? Because you explained to me what mod was for.
Yeah, modern jazz.
Yeah. And I just love this concept of you just take care of your appearance.
Yeah, and it's about looking good.
And it's about looking good. Yeah. And I, my personality just really appreciates that in you.
Yeah.
But poor Weller looked so good.
Did you just? As soon as he walked out, I was like, okay, I need to go shopping. He had these white stay-pressed trousers on, little creases down the front. He had the Zaha Berlin shoes on, which I've got about 5 pairs of, and I just bought another pair because of this. And then he had a white kind of crew neck T-shirt on with some buttons down it, and then the Levi Trucker denim jacket. And everything was like, bang, you know, fit perfectly. I was like, holy shit, look at the style.
And look at his hair and his face.
And then the way he moves.
And can I just tell everybody, this is really cute, because we did actually manage to go backstage afterwards, and we just want to thank, Sally Craddock. Thanks, Sally, so much for helping us get backstage, because Michael met Paul.
Yes. I met him a couple of times before, but
no, I know,
it's always the same where I just go, hi, great work, by the way. Do you know, I think, fuck, what am I supposed to say?
And I said thank you.
Yes.
Because it's thanks to you that my boyfriend looks so hot.
Yeah, he was a bit unsure about what he meant by that.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's the clothes, it's nothing else, it's not being weird. But Reese met him as well. Reese had never met him. And then obviously we met Steve Craddock again, who's the main guitarist, and his wife Sally,
amazing.
And then all the rest of the band, who were just great.
And they were all brilliant. And see it.
Yeah, so he's got
if you want a good gig.
He's touring Britain at the moment, and I've got to say it was brilliant. But he's got a new album out on the 24th of May called 66, because he is 66 years old.
He's 66 and he looks so good.
It bodes well, doesn't it?
It bodes well.
I'm 50, and I think if I can look that good at 66.
And I'm 56. I'm 10 years younger than him. So he's like, it's where I'm going.
I'm
heading that way.
You're a bit of a mod, really.
I am a mod.
You are, because
I love looking nice.
Yeah.
I want to make an effort all the time.
And you've got like slip-on loafers and stuff like that.
Oh my God, I love the loafer.
All part of that vibe. And then like this jumper, you love lovely colours and you look great,
I feel
actually.
Like I'm... Mm-hmm. I feel like I've gone a bit more mod with you.
You have gone a bit more mod with me, anyway, his previous album, the one that I really like, is called Fat Pop. But if you listen to the deluxe version of that, there's some live records on there as well. And that's a bloody great record. But that got me back into clothes again, thinking about specific clothes that I like.
Yeah.
One of the things I really like is a stripy long sleeve T-shirt. Actually quite difficult to get hold of, so I bought a couple from Henny's about 5 years ago, but they were just on their last legs. Anyway, I've looked everywhere. I've been to every bloody shop you can think of. And you know, I know Philip Green was massive.
Can I also just say,
I do miss Top Man.
I miss Top
Man
so much.
Please, somebody bring Top Man back to the high
street.
I know it's on ASOS, but it's not
ASOS,
the same.
ASOS, bring it back to the high street.
Mm.
But I was going to say, the important thing about the striped T-shirt is the dimension of the stripe.
Yes,
you can't have it too thin.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a strobey eye.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. You can't wear it on telly, that's for sure. And then the other thing is the neck. The neck's got to be just right. I don't like a baggy, saggy neck. I like something quite tight around the neck. And I don't want something too long, so it looks like a bloody... What was that? Andy Pandy.
No.
He used to wear a big stripy thing.
Mm.
So anyway, I scoured everywhere, couldn't find anything until I found on Amazon, would you believe, of all the places, that's where I found. So I'm going to read out just what it's called. It's a men's T-shirt, casual cotton, spandex, striped crew neck, long sleeve T-shirts. Jesus. And they're from a company called Leading and Best Store. Is that? Well, it looks like Leading. Is that right? LED?
Leading, yeah.
Leading and Best Store. So it's all one word.
Can you look at the other colours, Michael? Just
yeah, yeah.
Quickly
of course.
Show me the.
So you know,
yellow
I've got,
and black.
You know, I've got that one.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got a green and black one. They do a yellow and black one, like a bumblebee.
You've got that, haven't you?
The black.
Have you got the black and white?
I've got black and
yeah,
white.
Yeah, yeah, good.
I got blue
yeah,
and white.
And blue is really good.
There's a slightly small. I don't know if I got red and white or not, but I do want
red. Red and white is yeah. definitely a must.
Anyway, I bought these on BitSpec. They're $19.99 each. And I got them in extra small because I'm like a 35 chest. I'm pretty dinky. Oh, my God. They look bloody brilliant.
They look amazing.
And I washed them once and they got better. You know, like sometimes they just look better after a wash. And I was like, it's just gone in a tiny bit. So it's lost half a centimetre everywhere. So it's nice around the neck. It's nice in the arms. It's nice everywhere.
It got better.
It did, it did. I always think, okay, I like this, but what's it going to be like after I've washed it? And sometimes they get worse and sometimes they get better. The Uniqlo
exactly
merino wool jumpers get better after one wash if I buy a small. Anyway, I couldn't recommend these enough. I was like, hallelujah, it's exactly what I want. What I'm liking about shopping for clothes on Amazon is they don't seem to be following trends at all. Mm. Like, you go into a shop, all the clothes are baggy at the moment for me, for men. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
But also, they don't make clothes for any man under 5'7", 5'8".
No, they
like,
don't.
And we need extra smalls.
Yeah. They don't
I think
really
you
make...
should start like a movement because there was a movement about sizing.
Yes.
But they don't. Nobody thinks about the smaller people.
No,
that's
they don't.
Not
it's a,
fair.
It's a bloody nightmare. And then I've bought something else off Amazon.
Oh, God. What's it?
So. This, once again, I was looking on Instagram and I went to poor Weller's wife's Instagram page, Hannah Weller, she's called.
Yeah.
And she took a picture of poor Weller at a sound check the other day and he had a green cardigan.
Oh,
on.
My God, it was
you saw
so
it?
Good.
And I was like.
I also went to poor Weller's wife.
Yeah,
isn't that funny
yeah.
that you and I separately? Oh, wow.
So, like, trying to just buy a green cardigan walking around the shops of
yeah.
Oxford Street is a bloody nightmare. Because
yeah.
even if you find one, you won't find one that fits you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I found the perfect green cardigan, so I bought it. Yeah, so, when, so well, once I found it and I tried it on, and then if it looks good, I'll take a picture of
okay,
it.
Okay, perfect. Let's do that.
But the green, I've started to shop for clothes on Amazon, which is a very weird thing, but I'm having a high rate of success.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I want to talk about something that, so Chester went to a junior school a long, long time ago, because he's in his first year at A-levels people. So Chester, basically, to give you context, was in my tummy the year that Pete won Big Brother.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And Nikki was like, I had to kneel between Nikki's leg, massively pregnant, to calm her down. I thought she was having a panic attack. I was one
brilliant.
Like minute away from slapping her in the face because I just thought if she doesn't like breathe, she's going to have a full-blown panic attack on stage. I miss Nikki. She was the funniest yeah. girl.
That's
what
such a shame,
a,
isn't it?
Such a fucking shame.
Anorexia, she have anorexia?
Yes, but I don't. I think it was just her. I think her body
okay.
gave in. You know, it's, after you've... like giving your body a really, really yeah. hard time. Sometimes it's hard to come back from
it's
that.
It's such a peculiar illness, anorexia, isn't it? We have such an odd relationship with food.
But it's control.
Yes. But
more than anything, it's like about... It's about using...
The whole idea around self-harm, whether it's you self-harm with food or with a blade or, you know, just abusing yourself.
Mm.
It's such a peculiar idea that you would knowingly hurt yourself when you know that's not what you want.
Yeah, I kind of misunderstood it for a very long time because I thought it was about attention and it's not.
Mm. No, well, it's you realise as you get older that you're not necessarily kind to yourself in all sorts of funny ways, aren't you? But on that note,
so
please
Chester,
try and be kind to yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Chester was at school and this woman got in touch with me and she said, I've made something, can I send it to you?
Mm-hmm.
And you know when your heart slightly sinks and you think, oh, fucking hell, someone wants to send me something.
Yep.
And I'm going to be expected to do something and it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Or when a friend of you says, I've written a song and you go, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Please be good. Well, this woman's actually fucking done
something
really? Brilliant. So she sent me, there's a couple of reasons why I think this is great. Mm. So she sent me a little tube of something called Nudie Spray.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it's no more patch marks ever. So You know what it's like. You see the little black squares that are left by my hormone stickers on my... And it is hard to get off. Sometimes it's not too bad. And I know that my sticker that I use, Estradot, isn't as bad as the other stickers that are a little bit bigger. And they are much harder to get off than mine. But this spray, it's called Nudie Spray. You spray it on, you leave it for 10 or 15 seconds, and then they have a little kind of pad, and you use the pad. And for me, personally speaking, I left it for 15, 20 seconds, and I literally just wiped it off once. Sometimes you have to wipe it two or three times, but it's not like scrubbing it in the shower, which is what I used to have to do. The other thing, I think, about the spray that I found fascinating was taking off boob tape, which we've all used.
Yeah.
And my daughter uses it as well. And we'd put boob tape on my daughter for the MBE
people. Yes, the MBE.
Well, we're going to talk about that next. We're going to talk about that next time.
Oh, God, but, about
that. But she'd used boob tape for the MBE. And we were trying to take it off. And it's agony. Taking off,
you've got bruising,
like,
really,
and you've got like bits of fur all over your, like it's like ripping off bit by bit. But it's, you put enormous amounts of tape on, and I said, "Hang on a minute, I've got this Nudie spray. I don't know if it'll work, but it works brilliantly for sticker removal." So I sprayed her entire, both her boobs in this Nudie spray, soaked the tape in it, and it literally peeled off.
Wow!
Without any pain whatsoever. So I. Somebody I know who's a kind of meno warrior posted about this Nudie spray. And I think, you know, there are people who are up in arms about what we call meno washing, which is people making money out of other people's misery to do with the menopause. For me, I feel like this is actually something that does work and we do need it. But some people I totally, totally understand talk about the fact that it's a bit expensive. Because it is £12 for a can and a pad to wipe it off with. Or it's £15 for Nudie spray, Nudie pad, Nudie patch bag, and free postage. Or you can get two Nudie sprays as a top-up. So you've got your pad, but you can get two Nudie sprays for £17. Now, one of the things that people were saying that you know, look, oh, well, I can just use Terps. But people, you know, some of the stuff that people were putting on their skin to get rid of the black sticky stuff was horrific. I mean, really bad for your skin. And this is, and lots of people were talking about, I just use olive oil. Well, that is good, but olive oil can mark clothes and it can be greasy, quite sticky and greasy, and then you've got to wash that off. It's a faff. This is not oily. It leaves no residue. It leaves no stickiness. I am not paid to advertise these people, and I haven't seen this woman in 10 years. You know, I don't know her at all. And she wasn't, she had a girl and I had a boy, so they, like, it wasn't, we hardly ever saw each other. This is a good product.
I thought it was when you...
I showed it to you.
You showed it to me and then you told me about it. And I thought, yeah, it sounds interesting. And then you used it and then you showed me it in action. I was like, oh, that's fucking great. I mean, when a product actually does what you need it to do, it's a bloody relief, basically, isn't it? Yeah.
That is the size of the other stickers.
Bloody hell, they're big, aren't they?
They're like quite big, aren't they?
Face mask, so it's called Nudie. Yep. What's the website called again?
So it's called nudiespray.com, N-U-D-I-spray.com.
And you can only currently get it there?
You can just get it on online at the moment. It's been recommended by lots of celebs who've used it, who they obviously, their new business, their kitchen table business, they can't afford to pay celebrities to endorse their products. Yeah. So literally all these products are genuine endorsements. And I've told you the price, nudiespray.com.
Great. Somebody bought you this God. Book. Who bought you this book?
No, David sent it to me.
David?
The
guy
author.
Who wrote it.
this man makes me laugh so much. Dave, Tarnowski.
Tarnowski? Dave Tarnowski.
But we've been friends with him online for ages because we've recommended disappointing affirmations before.
Yes, I think we haven't we?
On the pod.
So these are largely on Instagram, but he's put them together in a book, and they are... quite literally disappointing affirmations.
Oh my God, they are the funniest. The double page spreads are the best.
Yeah, but so I'm just going to read a couple of them out. So they're illustrated very nicely with a photograph behind, normally of a beach or a wave or a waterfall or something like that. And this one says, "No one is coming to save you. You are the adult. I'm so sorry. You're doing the best you can," which is pretty sad, really, isn't it? "The only person you can truly rely on is you. What a fucking nightmare."
Go on, read it, read it.
"It's not imposter syndrome. You really do suck at everything." This one's great. "Just be yourself, but not your real self. No one wants to see that shit."
Look, hang on.
Oh, my God. They're just page after page of everything you slightly know.
"You are not alone. Everyone else is disappointed in you too."
"Each new day is a gift. You can't return for something that you really want." "There's so much life out there just waiting to be discovered. But there's also tons of good shit to binge watch at home too." So every night I get into bed and just have a couple, read of a couple of these.
And it does really make you laugh. Because there is so much holier than thou shit online,
yes,
isn't there?
Of course.
And this is such a brilliant anecdote to that. And actually, it does. It's the perfect Lou. Go on, say it.
"You will never be alone. All the stupid things you've ever said and done will always be there to haunt you." And, like, you know that is true, don't you?
Yeah.
This one's great. This one reminds me of Andy. "Failure is always an option." So,
can I just ask you something? Yeah. Why does that remind you of Andy? If I was Andy, I'd be quite disappointed by that.
I know. Well, we have these stories that we say to each other about our past and things where we really fucked up in life. And we've always said, there's always the option of, like, just accepting that you're fucking stupid, you know, and that's that, you know, like, there's like an end point, you know.
God, we talked about a lot.
Yeah, we did. So I'm going to read out a couple of things here. Nikki Lutt, which is spelt L-U-Y-T.
Yeah.
Is that Lutt? Lutt? Such a...
Lute.
Lute?
I don't know. Light.
It's good to nick people's names. Yeah, I'm like, wow, brilliant. Where does that come from? It says, "Hello, I'm still listening to Making the Cut. Been with you since you guys have been the first podcast.
Thanks,
it's been a
Nikki.
Real tonic, which has seen me through some dark times during the pandemic. I love listening to you guys when I'm working from home. Can I just say I find Michael's voice very soothing?"
But not the chewing.
Not the chewing. You notice I haven't done that today. But I can overlook that. Anyway, reason I'm getting in touch is finally bought an air fryer this week after weeks of deliberation.
Yes, well
I went
done.
With the Instapot that you recommended. And the great thing is they have a £60 off it this week at John Lewis. So it's now at £159, which is brilliant. Thought I'd share the love
great.
For the rest of your listeners in case they were considering one. Keep up the great work. Lots of love, Nikki. The Instant Pot air fryer is hands down the best one, like I said.
And you know what? We also recommended UK Fryer Girl.
Oh, did we?
Fryer Girl UK on Instagram. She just does loads and loads and loads. If you don't know how to use your air fryer, which lots of people buy them and just sit on them.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to use it, get online and follow her.
Oh, we did a post last week, so there's just lots and lots of messages of people saying, thank God. Wendy Bell says, thank God for that, making a comeback. Let me just see if I can find anything else here. Hooray, I've been hanging out waiting for this announcement for so long. Good to see you again. That's Lolly Ach. Lolly Ach?
Eich.
That's a great surname. I'm assuming it's Scottish. Yay, we've missed you, says Imogen Brown. Connective healing, that's an old message. So we're back, so you can start sending in your bits and pieces, messages, that is. Don't send us any bits and pieces yet. We're not ready yet. We're not set up. I think we're going to do a kind of soft introduction back into this world. But we'll definitely be doing readouts and stuff like that.
Yes.
And we've got, like I say, a backlog of things to talk to you about over the next few weeks. And then once we're up to date, we'll start firing in lots of new things.
On all cylinders.
It's very nice
to
see you
wasn't it?
At the other end of this microphone.
Yeah.
You're looking very well.
Am I?
Yeah, you do. You look great. There's one other thing I would like to say. I'm going to follow up. No, I'm going to say it for next week. Okay.
Will you tell me what it is after we turn it
off? Yeah, I will. It's a present you brought me. I think it's a good recommendation.
Okay.
Lots of love, everybody. It's very nice to be back.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.